Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Locatora Radio.
A radiophonic novela.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Muñoz
and Diosa Fem.
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome to season 4 of Locatora Radio por Casteras Peligrosas, wanted for crimes against the patriarchy. Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela, which is just a very, very extra way of saying a podcast.
We interrupt our regularly scheduled programming to bring you Quarantine Confidential, a special pandemic broadcast about our experiences with quarantine and COVID-19.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
Last time on Locatora Radio, we spoke with Jackie Cruz about life in quarantine, creating Hispanic Heritage Month, and being dog moms. If you haven't tuned into that episode, you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and Audioboom.
That was a really fun interview. I love talking with Jackie. If you didn't know, Jackie makes some bomb music. And right now, in addition to working on new movies, like she was just in the new Tremors, she also has new music. So I've been bumping this one song called La Hora Loca.
You gon' have to work si tú me quieres otra vez. You gon' have to work.
No te necesito, yo estoy bien.
So I highly suggest tuning into that episode, like Diosa said, but also go and check out Jackie's music if you're looking for something new to listen to.
Yes, she is such a talented artist. I'm excited to see like how she keeps growing post Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, I'm always curious to see like breakout stars, because I think we could call Jackie, vis-a-vis Orange is the New Black, a breakout star in that way.
I feel like all the Latinas in Orange is the New Black were the breakout stars. I mean, and also
the black actresses
as well. Like, I think all the women of color were like the breakout stars of Orange is the New Black.
It's true. Like Danielle Brooks, who played Tasty in Orange is the New Black, is on that new Netflix series, Social Distance. I just saw Danielle Brooks as I was watching that show. And like we said, you know, Jackie's doing her thing. And Diane Guerrero has been, you know, doing a lot of work. And she's very visible on the gram. So, yes, what you say is definitely true. So, a reminder to rate, comment, like, and share. Share Locatora with friends. We love it when new listeners tell us, oh, my homegirl put me onto Locatora. I've been binging since episode one. I'm now on episode 80. So in addition, we want to share some updates. We have a lot going on at Locatora. We want to remind you all to sign up for our newsletter, Besitos, to stay up to date with all things Locatora Radio.
Also, in case you haven't noticed, we are also running ads on Locatora Radio, which is super exciting for us, but maybe not your thing. So if you want an alternative way to listen to Locatora Radio, you can become a patron on patreon.com/Locatora Radio and get ad-free listening.
And we also want to share that we're doing a little bit of a change over at Locatora. We're switching things up and we're going to do our best to get back to the original Locatora Radio. We were talking about thematic issues and producing really thematic episodes like Loca Epistemologies, Femme Tech, Femme Defense. And you heard Diosa and I really talking about a lot of really interesting topics, just the two of us. So what we're doing is to accommodate the really huge influx of interview requests. We're going to be hosting the majority of our interviews with community leaders, with activists, with creatives, with up and coming artists on Patreon. So you can tune in to, there are already a couple interviews on there, with one with Noni Lamar. We also have our video from our interviews with Jackie Cruz on Patreon. We're going to be doing more interviews with local leaders and activists, up and coming artists and creatives. And those are all going to be Patreon exclusives. So if you want to be featured on locatoraradio.com, email us, hola@locatoraradio.com. If you're interested in a Patreon interview, if you think maybe what you're working on or your project is more suited for an Instagram Live, if you want to be featured in Besitos, our newsletter, there's a lot of different ways to be featured on Locatora. So email us, hola@locatoraradio.com, and become a patron to have access to those interviews that are only going to be living on Patreon.
Absolutely. You know, if you're already a patron, thank you so much. If you're looking for ways to support Locatora and maybe a monthly subscription isn't really your thing, but you do want to give us a one-time donation, you can escort yourself to our Venmo at Locatora-Radio. And if you are a cishet man and are looking for a fandom drain and aspire to be our human wallet, you can also Venmo us at Locatora-Radio.
And remember, you can get 15% off of your purchases from Latina-owned makeup brand Vive Cosmetics. Head to vivecosmetics.com and use our affiliate code LocatoraRadio15 and get all your beso-proof lippies.
Yes, love Vive Cosmetics. All right, y'all. Also, you know that at Locatora, we are huge advocates of therapy, and this podcast is proudly sponsored by BetterHelp. If you are struggling and seeking options for therapy, please go to trybetterhelp.com/locatora and receive 10% off of your first month.
And coming up in November and December, Locatora Radio is excited to partner with the Los Angeles Public Library to offer a series of free podcasting workshops for youth and young adults. We're going to be offering podcasting webinars with the Los Angeles Public Library online, remotely, for free, November 17th and November 24th, as well as December 1st, 8th, and 15th. You can check out the LAPL website and socials for how to sign up.
I am so excited that we are partnering with the LA Public Library once again. If you were able to check out our in-person workshops with the LA Public Library in 2019, thank you so much for supporting us. We're excited to be back partnering with them.
Yes, we love the library and we love that they are so open to bringing podcasting education to the community. So thank you, LA Public Library. And in other exciting news, Locatora Radio is launching new merch. So you're going to want to sign up to subscribe to our newsletter, Besitos, and to become a patron on patreon.com so that you can get first dibs on new merch before anybody else. And you will also have access to discount codes. Fiesta, do you want to describe our new merch for the folks at home?
Our new merch is so freaking cute. We have some black crop tees. We have some black face masks to keep you cute all through quarantine and beyond. And also excited to share that we're also working on a second round of merch. So if maybe this one isn't too much of your style, fear not. We have more things coming. But these are really freaking cute. They're comfy. They're cozy. They'll keep you cute. They'll keep you safe. All of that. So we heard you. We heard that y'all have been wanting merch. The Papi hats are coming back. We have lots of great things. Our merch store will be launching in the next couple of days. So keep your eyes peeled. Keep your eyes out. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Podcasteras peligrosas.
And today, Locamores, we're super excited to bring you an interview with comedian and bad bitch Marcela Arguello. For those of you who are not familiar with Marcela's work, Marcela is the host and booker of Women Crush Wednesdays, the hottest and most diverse stand-up show in LA. It used to happen every Wednesday at the Hollywood Improv Lab before the pandemic. But her debut album, The Woke Bully, which debuted at number 3 on the Billboard comedy charts and was named one of the best comedy albums of 2019 by the NPR program Bullseye, is a combination of Marcela's unique perspective and honesty, which captures what it's like to experience her life. In 2020, COVID-19 halted the entertainment industry, but Marcela managed to be seen as a panelist on David Spade's Lights Out on Comedy Central, killed her over-the-top dance numbers on the Funny Dance Show on E!, and can be seen on the upcoming Fuse TV show, Like, Share, Dímelo. Her stand-up can be seen on the second season of Two Dope Queens on HBO, as well as Night Train with Wyatt Cenac on Stars. Previously, she made a brief guest appearance on Comedy Central's Corporate on an episode of Fuse TV's Trivia Takedown. We're so excited to have Marcela Arguello here. So without further ado, we'd like to just bring up our interview and have you all chuckle along with us. Okay, Locamores, so we are incredibly excited to chat with comedian, funny lady, Marcela Arguello, here to talk to us about comedy in the time of COVID, some exciting work that she has coming up. Marcela, hello. Welcome to Locatora.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to finally be here.
It's taken a couple years.
I'm here. Finally.
A long time coming for sure.
Oh yeah, I'm excited. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. You guys, this is a great podcast.
Thank you. And Marcela, you actually attended one of our, maybe our first Locatora Live podcast party.
Yes, yes. It was a very strange event. It was like, it was cool. Not strange in a bad way. Just like, I think like half of the room knew what was going on. The other half was like, hey, I'm trying to dance, eh? And it was like, it was just kind of fun to just, you know, stand in the back and watch it all kind of go down. It was cool.
Yeah, it was an experimental event, a podcast party. What is a podcast party? Yeah. So thank you for being there, though, and supporting. So Marcella, can you introduce yourself a little bit for our audience in case they happen to live under a rock somewhere and not know who you are?
I mean, a lot of people don't know who I am. It's totally fine. My name is Marcella. I'm a comedian. I've been doing comedy for almost 15 years, stand-up comedy for almost 15 years. And I started in the Bay Area. I'm from California, born and raised, and not currently doing comedy in LA because that's not happening, but I was doing comedy in LA. I was running a really great weekly women's only show, Women Crush Wednesdays. That was really fun. We're waiting for that to hopefully start up again. And maybe you've seen me on Two Dope Queens season 2, episode 3, I want to say. Yeah, that's my intro.
Yes, I went to Women Crush Wednesday the night that Nicole Byer was performing.
Oh, cute. That was a fun one.
It was so fun. That was a good night.
Yeah, she's always fun. She has an open door invitation there, so it's always nice to have her. She's fucking wild.
She is another amazing podcaster.
Yes.
I love Why Won't You Date Me. So, Marcella, you tweeted a few days ago, whatever time is at this point. It's not real.
Maybe I just tweeted it.
Yeah, about how comedic timing doesn't really work on Zoom.
Oh God, no, it doesn't.
And I know you've been doing some Zoom shows. So can we talk about that? Comedy and COVID. How's it working? How's it not working?
I have not been doing Zoom shows. I've been doing like Zoom events, but not Zoom shows I refuse to do stand up on a Zoom show because there's a delay. And comedy, you need the instant reaction. And it just doesn't make sense to me. Like I was telling somebody recently how, like, when we start doing comedy, and even now when you experiment with new material, a delayed reaction is negative. It means that the joke is either not funny or it's not easy to understand, or maybe you just need to change a word. But a delayed reaction, I've been doing comedy so long, a delayed reaction fucks with my head. You know, I'm sure like some of the people who've only been doing comedy for a few years are probably fine with it because it's easier to adapt when you've only been doing it for a few years, but I've been doing it too long that I'm like, if I do Zoom stand-up, I'm just going to get super upset. I'm going to get mad. Like, I don't know if you've only been to the Nicole Byer Women Crush, I have a tendency to get upset on stage and take it out on the audience when shit doesn't go my way, which is sometimes funny and sometimes it's fucking terrible. So I just can't imagine. I can't imagine enjoying the fucking delayed response, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, I can totally see that. I mean, even just trying to record a freaking podcast episode is like a nightmare.
It's hard.
Yeah, especially like, you know, when you're dependent on, or not dependent, but you work on people's energies, right? When you're interviewing 100%. People, when Mala and I are, you know, doing our little thing, our back and forth, and the delay doesn't work.
It doesn't help.
It's not cute.
Because then you end up stepping on each other and interrupting when you think someone was pausing for an opening, but you don't know if they're just completing their thought. And it's fucked up. It's not fun. It's not smooth. It takes away some of the fun, but what are you going to do?
So Zoom events, but you've also done some parking lot shows. Yeah,
I did.
How was that?
I was opening for Felipe Esparza. Okay. Comedian who has both an English and Spanish special right now on Netflix. Check that out, y'all. And if you haven't already, and he invited me. Actually, I did stand up at a comedy club the week before in Salt Lake City, Utah, because they have like a low number of cases. They've been running the show running the club since May. And they are, you know, following all the COVID guidelines. And so after talking to another comedian, Jesus Trejo, who had been headlining there, I agreed to open for Felipe. And that was a little nerve-wracking because it was like, we're inside and I'm not used to being inside with a bunch of people. And it was a 300-seater, but they only had 150 people in the room. And it was a little uncomfortable. But it was fine. You know, it was also like fucking what a trip to just be able to do stand up, tell jokes and get a reaction. I did great, by the way.
I just want everybody hearing to know that you can take a long ass break and still do very good if you are good at what you do. But that was fucking a mind fuck, but it was fun. And it was a really good way to transition into doing the drive-in shows, because the drive-in shows fucking sucked. They fucking suck. They are not good for the performer. There's just no way. I mean, the only reason I did it because I trust Felipe. I know his audience is hella fun and hella dope and hella chill. So I was like, I know I'll be fine. I know my material will be fine. It's just that I'm going to have to talk myself into, again, what I just said, when I'm on stage and the audience, I don't have a reaction, I'll take it out on them, right? And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. So I had to tell myself, you're not going to get a reaction, period, at all.
Yeah.
So you need to not fucking be a bitch about it. To the next joke. So that's what I did. And it wasn't fun. And it was hella funny because the first night was 200 cars, which was a lot of cars. You kind of only just vibe off the people in the front row that are sitting on their, you know, truck beds, or if they're sitting outside of their car or whatever. But the second show was 400 cars, 400 fucking cars. It's a lot of cars, huge field of cars. And Felipe's wife, after my set, because from where she was standing, she heard a lot of laughter, right? But when you're outside, the sound goes up. It's not going towards me. So I get off stage and she goes, Marcella, wasn't that so much more fun than yesterday? I said, no, it wasn't. It was just as fucking terrible as it was last night. This shit is not fun, but I get it. These people are paying a lot of money to be entertained because they want to get out of the fucking house. So you do your job. It's the first time in a long time I'm like, I'm doing a job, you know? And it's not my favorite way to do stand up.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine we're all kind of just adapting, you know, as best we can. You know, so far you've mentioned like Jesus Trejo, who we love, and Felipe Esparza, you know, and you're also a prominent comedian, right? In the Latinx field, in the field in general, where would you say the current landscape is for Latinx comedy? If you can even like, is there a landscape? Like, is everyone doing their own thing? What do you think? What's your opinion?
I think right now it's still pretty much how it's always been. It's either you're fucking doing the classic Mexican material, because that's what a lot of the material in America has been about, you know, or you're doing your thing and you're not being included in the Latinx community, right? Because that, you know, you're either fucking us or you're fucking trying to be a gringa, you know, like it's never, you're not allowed to just be what you are. And I'm thankful that like Ida Rodriguez is out there, you know, doing her fucking thing, being a fucking loud and proud Latina and helping pave the way. But, you know, that also took Tiffany Haddish bringing her up, giving her a special, because we know that Ida wasn't going to get a special from these fucking white people. They weren't going to give her one. The way she talks, this is not, I mean, the way I talk, I'm not fucking getting one right now. And so that's just the way it is. So it's, the landscape is interesting because it's literally a landscape. It's just, it's a wide field of a lot of people doing a lot of different things, but it's still very divided. It's still very, you either look Latino or you don't. And then according to that, they're going to put you where they think you should be. And that's what's frustrating, because it's like, there's a lot of comedians who are very good who aren't getting the recognition they deserve because they're not doing, you know, material that appeals to the Latino audience that the gatekeepers feel like it needs to be, you know, addressed. When it's like, Latinos, we like everything. We like all the things. Yep. I was talking to somebody recently about how, especially with Latinos, this girl just got a really nice, great position at a bright, shiny new company. And they're doing great. She's doing great. But she was tripping, you know, because she was like, I just, as a Latina, like, I feel very uncomfortable and it's hard for me and I'm scared and I feel like I have imposter syndrome. I'm like, why? You're in the comedy world. She's not a comedian, but she's in the comedy world. And I'm like, as Latinos, we've had to consume white mainstream media. We've had to consume black mainstream media. And we've consumed this fucking Latino Univision. We haven't consumed Sábado Gigante our whole lives. We've consumed our shit and their shit. And then somehow we're not allowed to be in any of it. You know, especially if you start dabbling on one side or the other, right? but we are sometimes more qualified than anybody, because, and especially in that position that she's in, where it's like she gets to say what is funny and what's good because she has consumed so much over the years from all the cultures, all the backgrounds, especially in mainstream, which for the most part in mainstream American entertainment is just white and black, and really has been predominantly white. It was very black in the 90s, but then that fucking disappeared. And now it's starting to come back to be hella black, hella dope, a lot of great shit for them, which is fucking exciting and cool. We support it. And then there's us, where people are still like treating us like it's the fucking 90s. They're saying, I mean, look, I'm excited about that Selena series on Netflix, but it's like, if there's other Latinas that have done great shit.
Yeah.
Great shit. We got all the series on her, you know?
Like, absolutely.
How many more series on white Latinas do we need? Not more. Did I just unsell my own show? I think so.
Well, you know, I like definitely like hear what you're saying, because I am like someone that consumes Latinx media, but I wouldn't, what you consider like the slapstick Latinx comedy is not what appeals to me. So I'm always looking for something like, well, that's not really my humor, you know? And so I'm trying to find my own lane of what do I like and how can I consume it? How can I support the comedians that are doing what I like?
Yeah. But that's what's tough, is that there's so much out there. And for us, there's limited, right? Not just as consumers, but as performers, as entertainers. And so it just gets really fucking tricky, because you want to support everyone, but everyone doesn't want to support you. You know, that's what sucks about being, especially, and I don't know, because I'm first generation. So when I was a kid, you know, I was learning English, and I was like, let's consume all the humor that we can, because in our household, we love to laugh, of course. So we would consume so much, like we weren't allowed to watch SNL, but we could watch In Living Color. You know, we would watch all those goofy ass 80s movies. I got so much diversity and comedic entertainment that it like blows my mind that it's still so fucking separated, you know? Cause it's like, we can all be in this, but it just doesn't work that way, which sucks, but it should.
All right, y'all. So today we're excited to talk about one of our favorite brands that we've had the pleasure of working with, Quip. And today we're going to be talking about flossing. Do you ever floss on the go? Do you ever floss in between work meetings, especially now Zoom meetings, when you're eating something quick? And did you know, this shocked me, that only one out of every two people brush twice a day, and the same goes for flossing regularly? What type of person are you?
Well, I definitely like to brush my teeth twice a day. I could do better on flossing twice a day, to be honest, but Quip is here to help. And you know Quip, it's the electric toothbrush you hear about all the time. It's their sleek, reusable floss pick that you're going to want to use next. The durable handle is super easy to guide. It restrings with one click and comes with a compact mirror dispensing case for on the go. You can pair your floss with the perfect electric toothbrush for adults and kids. And Quip has the simple guiding features that you need. So you can get all those amazing rewards that come with having a Quip toothbrush just for brushing every day. The Quip smart electric toothbrushes connect to the free Quip app. You can earn amazing rewards like free products and discounts. And as you track and coach better oral health habits 2 minutes twice a day, you're going to see a difference when you're using your Quip toothbrush.
Quip also delivers brush head, floss, and toothpaste refills every 3 months from $5. Shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the store, which is extra important right now. And if you go to getquip.com/locatora right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's right, your first free refill at getquip.com/locatora. That's getquip.com/locatora.
Quip, better oral health made simple.
I've been watching, binging all the new, all the old shows that they've put back on Netflix now. Like I've been watching Sister Sister and Half and Half and One on One and Moesha.
Girlfriends,
Girlfriends. And it's so true. Like, and in particular, representations of Black women in these different sorts of sitcoms. And what I marvel at definitely is like, I have so much respect for Black Hollywood and the way that they've built for themselves and for each other and put one another on.
Right.
And I wish that in Latinx spaces, there wasn't such a desire to aspire to whiteness and blending into whiteness. Because we've had our big superstars, like we can look back and look at the J-Lo's and the this and the that, but what have they sort of created for the next generation?
Bitch, exactly. And that's the fucking problem. Yeah. That's the problem. And it goes back to, because when that list came out about Latinx, there was no Latinx showrunners in that list that came out. It's a bunch of different backgrounds, but apparently no Latinos, right? But I'm curious, like, who's helping the Latinx showrunners? Because, like, okay, I don't want to shit talk anybody, but there's quite a few Latinas and Latinos that have their own shows or are in projects. And it's like, how are they not lifting up our people? It's great to lift up everyone else. I totally think we should. But it's like, how do you not see behind the camera that there isn't your own people? And it just shocks me. It fucking shocks me, because you're totally right. That's part of the problem. And it's truly exhausting to do that work, because that was the thing about Women Crush Wednesdays. It came from that place of like, how am I trying, like, I'm trying to do comedy and work in diverse places, but people aren't allowing me to, I have to be the only woman on the show. I have to be the only Latina, or I can only do Latina shows, or I'm the token this or whatever. And I hated that, because I was like, there's so many funny women. Why can't we all be on a show? Not all of us be on a show, but how often there was, especially 15 years ago, there was six guys and one woman on a show. And back then it was like, it's you and Ali Wong, and we already got Ali Wong, so you'll do the next one. And I'm like, why can't we both be on the same show? What if I'm not available next month? Like, this shit don't make no fucking sense. And I had someone say that to me recently about a Latino show. We're doing this Latino show. And I was like, oh, I'm unavailable. And he goes, all right, we'll get you on the next one. And then I came back like a few days later, like, hey, I'm available now. Can I still do that show? Did you already fill the spot? And he goes, oh, we already have a woman on the show. And I was like, what? I was like, you have one woman on the show and I can't be on the show now? Like the Latinos are still doing the bullshit that was happening 15 years ago in the white spaces. And now the white spaces are trying to be more diverse. They're not great at it, but they're trying.
Yeah. So
I saw all that shit. And that's part of what Women Crush was I was trying to put the work, because I was like, there's funny women everywhere. And because the comedy scene is so segregated that I was like, I can see all, because I would go to all the scenes. That's what comedy is. You do all the scenes, you do all the shows, you do all the stages. And that's what I would do. And I'd be like, I want her on my next show. I want her in every space, because I know that there's enough. And there's also space for lifting up the people that are coming up. Okay, you don't have 10 minutes, bitch, but you got a decent five. I'm going to give you 5 minutes and you got to rock that shit. I even remember telling one white girl, she fucking did terrible on my show. And I almost didn't rebook her, because I was like, fuck. But I knew that the set that she sent in was really funny. So I rebooked her like a year later, because I was like, all right, she'll probably, you know, have a little more experience by then. And she came and she fucking crushed it. And I told her straight up, because I'm sometimes too honest for my own good, I was like, girl, you know what? I almost didn't rebook you because you did so bad on the first show. I was like, but you killed it tonight. She's like, you know what? I was so nervous. I had never performed at the Hollywood Improv. That was my first time performing in a comedy club. She was like, I was so nervous that I did. I ate shit. And I was like, oh, I forget that I'm actually handing opportunities to people and they're getting seen, because at my show, they would always be industry watching. And it's one of those things where it's like, even when you do the work and somebody fucks it up, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't give them a chance. You know, you got to keep trying and trying, because we're all in this for the long, or hopefully we're all in this for the long run. But with that, I do agree that Latinos need to be pulling each other up in every direction, you know?
Yeah. And this is fascinating to me too, because any chance I get to shit on men in the community, I will take it.
Right.
So, because part of what I'm hearing is that the OG comedy gatekeepers, who probably are the ones most likely to create opportunities, have been like older Chicano men. I'm thinking, you know, the Paul Rodriguez's and the Cheeches and the Chongs and the George Lopez and the this and the that. Like, we know who they are. You know what I mean? And especially kind of like the way that this coincides with the Me Too movement, and knowing how comedy guys have been really garbage just to women historically, can we blame Latino men in particular for the sorry state of comedy today?
I think so. You know, and I got it. That's another shout out I got to give to Felipe. That motherfucker loves having at least a woman on the show, one woman, sometimes two, if you, you know, because, you know, when you have a three person show, you know, he has his host that motherfucker has been hosting it for him for years. Rodrigo Torres, shout out to him. He's funny, but he's like, that's the host.
Yeah.
So he'll have a middle act and then Felipe, right? So he does. He tries to put a woman on the show and tries to have her. He wants features. He wants women that are so funny that they can go on second. And he's really good at it. He's giving a lot of opportunities to a lot of women, and not just Latinas, you know, but he is. He's very much like on the radar of who is a funny woman that is Latina. And God bless him, because I know for a fact that that motherfucker looked at the past and was like, why aren't we helping each other? You know, and he's doing it. So that's the thing. It does take people to help others, because I know my audience has expanded through him. But I will say also that these men that are in power, even if it is just bookers in the middle of buttfuck USA, one time I was opening for Felipe and I was driving to the gig with a friend who I've known for years, me and him, super homies, hella funny Latino. I love him. And when we're driving to the show, he's like, I can't wait for you to meet this booker, you know, such and such. He's so dope. He's going to love you. He's going to think you're so funny. He's going to book you on all his shows. He has so many shows. You're going to make a lot of money working with him. And then I go, we'll see. He kind of got offended. He was like, what do you mean we'll see? I'm telling you he's dope. I'm telling you he's cool. I'm telling you he's going to hook you up. I said, bro, we will see. So get to the show. We were doing two nights, two different cities. And me and this homie were sharing hotels. We were driving together, right? And we get to the first show, and this booker is upset that this fool Chris, my friend, is having to go on before me. Why is she going on before you? That's disrespectful. That's what he tells Chris. And Chris is like, whoa, buddy. You know, like, she's really funny. You have to trust Felipe. Felipe has her going on as a feature because she is fucking funny. You have to trust Felipe. He goes, I just think it's disrespectful. Whatever. And sidebar, that fool tried to short me my pay for that show. Mm-mm. Felipe was right there right when he did it. And Felipe even said, is all the money there? And I said, nope. Anyways. Whatever. I got my money. Whatever. Good. But it was the same guy, which is the character that this person is. So then this fool, the second night, I think we like get switched or something, because this fool, I don't remember what happened. The real story is this motherfucker was so upset that this Chris friend of mine, he's known him for years. He's never heard of me. So why would I go on after him? He's so upset that he's going on before me, that he's getting paid less than me. This booker pays my friend out of his pocket extra money because he feels so disrespected on behalf of this fool Chris. Isn't that fucking crazy? Because of me. And P.S., I crush these shows. The man's wife came up to me and was like, you're so fucking funny, girl. Oh, my God. Everyone loved me. People were coming up to me. It didn't matter. He didn't care.
Of course.
And it's, you know, traditional Chicano machismo bullshit. But I'll always remember that. Like, you're my people. You're the guy on my back. And you don't. You're fucking trying to put me down. Trying to make a awkward between me and my friend. Isn't that fucking crazy? Paying him out of his own money.
That's ridiculous. That's wild. That is like
some intense commitment to the patriarchy. Wow.
Seriously. Because I keep thinking like, damn, Felipe is trying to uplift a woman to the point where she's getting paid more than the other openers. And this fool is like, nah, man, that's not how we do things. What?
And I question, has this man ever had a woman perform before him?
Ever. Who are you talking about?
Like the comedian friend, Chris?
Chris?
Yeah. Like, or the guy that was upset. Like, has a woman performed before him? Like,
oh,
has
he's not a comedian. He's just a guy that runs shows.
Wild.
This is a motherfucker that has access to providing income for other people.
Wild.
And I mean, it's like, it's crazy. It's crazy to think about that shit. It's also crazy because, you know, Prop 16... It's a Prop 16, it's reversing that how they struck down affirmative action with Prop 209 back in 1996, and so we're voting on that for this election. You vote yes to repeal that because we should give opportunities to everyone. But I just keep thinking about how
people go out of their way to do so much discriminating. And it's like, how often does that man get discriminated against? It's like, he's passing that bullshit down. He doesn't see how fucking terrible it is. And he's doing it to his own people, which makes me wonder what the fuck he's doing to other people. How does he see black people? How does he see white people better than? He obviously sees men and women as completely two different species. It's fucking crazy. I'm really upset now.
Yeah, right. It's like triggering.
It's so true. It's like, we're expected to like take the brunt of that because, oh, the Latino men, the Latinos are getting discriminated against. So then they come and, you know, want to fuck shit up for us, right? Yeah. And try to hurt us and harm us. Pa' qué, you know?
Mm-mm. It's crazy.
It also tells me though, like if that's like one example of one gatekeeper and then a, like a tastemaker in some ways because
yeah, exactly.
He's choosing lineups and things. So how does the actual comedy and the show suffer when fools like that are the ones deciding who's performing and why?
Exactly. And then think about the audience, because if say the three of us were like, oh, we're going to go to the, they have monthly comedy shows. Let's just go because we just want to go see comedy. And then because that motherfucker is the one booking these shows, imagine the bullshit we're watching.
Right.
We're watching fucking straight up
garbage
bullshit. Comedians, because this fool doesn't think women are funny, you know what I mean?
No taste.
It's a trickle down effect, and that's why it's so frustrating. Because I also think about how often I've gotten messages from comedians in the past that, you know, stayed where they were, didn't keep going, only dabble with it now. And how often I get messages from people like that in the past that are like, I can't believe you're still doing it. You're so strong. This game is really fucking hard. There's so much shit people don't know. And you're still doing it. You're still trying to make people laugh. You're still trying to have a message. You're still trying to like do your, and still be you and still be happy. And I'm always like, yeah, you're right. This shit fucking, I am strong. This shit fucking sucks.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Speaking of, you know, we would love to support you in all of your upcoming work. We hear that you have a special that you're going to be a part of. So can you talk to our audience about that so they can support, they can go stream it?
I'm so excited. So Sarah Cooper, who does all those Trump lip syncing videos, she got a Netflix special that's being produced by Animal Pictures, which is Natasha Lyonne and Maya Rudolph's company. And so they reached out to me to, you know, have a little role. And it's really cool because I was texting with Natasha because I was like, can I post something soon? Because I really want to post these pictures I have. And she was like, yeah, post it. She's like, you're in it. I was like, ooh, I'm in it. Hell yeah, bitch. So that's coming out Tuesday, October 27th. And it's called Everything's Fine. And that should be really a lot of fun. And I'm very excited because I'm not allowed to say what I play. But what I can say is I have a scene with Helen Mirren. And that was fucking cool. And I'll probably post that picture soon. Yeah, she was the fucking best. She was so sweet. She had this hilarious, like, she was like, how she gets along on sets. It's like, she's like, oh, you have to like memorize everybody's name and you have to like carry a bag of candy. And I was like, oh my God, Helen Mirren bribes people to like her. I love it. She's like, abuelita. I love her. Handing out candy to everybody. So cute. And Megan Thee Stallion is in it. I didn't have a scene with her, but she's in it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, Jonathan Van Ness is in one of the scenes I'm in.
What?
Marissa Tomei. It's a really cool, really cool special. And of course, Maya, Natasha, Fred Armisen, of course, are all in it. And that's fucking cool. So yeah, tune into that. And then I have my album, The Woke Bully, which is available for purchasing and streaming everywhere you listen to shit. And that came out in last year, and I'm still very proud of it. It's still very good. Sometimes I'll listen to it, and I'm like, damn, people were hella laughing. It was like Tuesday or Wednesday. And I'm like, yeah, I fucking did that shit. Listen to that. That one's a fun one.
Yes.
It is a hilarious album. It's a comedy album, right? That's what you call it. It's an album. Yes. And also, Marcella is just like the ill hip-hop head, and I love her. Yes, and I love how that comes out in your comedy and in The Woke Bully. Is definitely infused in there, which I always appreciate.
You know what's funny? Because I don't consider myself a hip-hop head. I've always said I'm a hip-hop little sister because, you know, I learned from my brothers, you know, because I wasn't like super into hip-hop or rap when I was young. And you know what? Did you guys read the Mariah Carey book? The memoir?
Not yet.
Not yet. I really want to listen to it as an audiobook.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm. The childhood stuff is a lot. I read that section hella slow. Mm-hmm. And apparently when she's reading it, she gets very emotional, like holding it back emotionally, that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I'm actually saving the audio. I'm going to listen to the audio book on a long trip when I can just like cry alone in the car. That shit is so good. But she, you know, I loved her as a kid. Me and my sister loved her. I still have all the CDs from when we were kids. And she has this great little section. I won't spoil it, but she just talks about how she loved having rappers in her all of her songs, which we know. But I keep thinking, like, damn, I think she was probably one of the reasons I was able to transition into like really appreciating rap and hip hop, because I was like, we love Mariah. My brothers were, of course, obsessed with the Wu-Tang. So like when the worlds collided, you're just like, oh, okay, I guess we can all listen to this. And then it kind of like you start bleeding into the other shit. And I mean, I was an older teen when I got into rap and hip hop. But yeah, I mean, I do. I always find it fascinating when people consider me a hip hop fan. But I guess I do know more than the average person.
Okay.
But yeah, I do love hip hop.
Yeah, I appreciate, you know, seeing those parts of your personality come out, especially going back to this idea of like Latinas and comedy and what are the jokes about and what's funny. And I will scream at the next like Latina comedian whose punchlines are just putting on a Spanish accent. Like the accent itself is the punchline. Right. Honestly, I hate that shit.
It's boring.
It's so overdone.
It's like, over.
Accents alone are not funny.
And today I was having lunch and I had, of course, Cheetos.
You know, and that's it. End of joke.
Yep.
She's more like, do puta.
Okay. Yeah. No,
you know, we're done. Like, whatever.
I mean, like, mija.
And I was like, mama.
That's exactly what we're talking about. I mean, and we get like, we've had men on our IG lives, like talk shit about the way we talk, right? Because we don't sound like what their idea of Latinas sound like. Exactly. Because we're not fucking saying hot Cheetos and mija. We're not Latinas.
Well, it's also funny too, because I also, because Mala, you're third generation, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I find humorous, because I don't know if you guys know Lydia Popovich, but she is also, I want to say, third generation. She's a very funny comedian, very funny Latina comedian. And it's so funny to me because people when they come to booking stuff, they would rather have someone that looks like Mala or like Lydia, because they're like, oh, she looks Latina. And then they're like, oh, now tell us about your experience. They're like, bitch, I'm third generation. I'm spoiled as fuck. I followed all my dreams. Fuck everybody. And they're just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then me, I'm fucking first generation, like ESL, like a motherfucker. But, you know, when you look at me, you're like, well, she's not what we are looking for. So we need a different look so we can talk about the real experience. And I'm like, I have the real experience. Are you crazy? What the fuck are you talking about? We're all Latinas. That's what's fucking crazy, is we are all Latinas, but the experience, like the visual experience, is what people are really trying to consume right now, which is why it goes back to like Afro-Latinos, that whole conversation, and you know, anti-colorism within Latino communities. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, we're barely there. We're barely starting that conversation, you know, which is crazy.
We're just decades behind, honestly.
We are.
Yeah.
Really and truly.
Century.
Oh, Marcella, thank you so much.
I could keep going. I could keep talking shit. Keep
going. So could we. Forever.
Yeah.
I'll come back so we can keep it going.
Yes.
I would love it. Maybe what we can do is an Instagram live.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
We could get some input from the audience and make fun of people in real time.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Let's do it. That'll be fun.
Marcela Arguello, comedian, woke bully, all around bad bitch. Thank you so much for stopping.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a blessing.
And for those of you who don't know, Marcela does do an iconic Beyonce impersonation that you can find on YouTube, I believe.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's still up.
All right. And that's it.
All right, Locamores, thank you so much for tuning in to another capítulo of Locatora Radio. The countdown for episode 100 continues, and we have something in store. We're working on it. The ideas are brewing. We're so close to 100 episodes, and you know that we love to celebrate a milestone. So check that out. We'll let you know what we have planned, and thank you once again for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
Besitos.
Locatora Radio. Bullshit. A radiophonic novela.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Muñoz
and Diosa Fem.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.